Good morning.
Good morning.
We have opportunity to be here in a time of singing hymns. And now that I'm kind of recovered, I'm looking forward to the next one. And because of that, I received a letter, and I'd like to just read a little bit from it. Happy Mozart's birthday, it says. I go to a hymn sing at Bethany Assembly in Everett every 2 months. Last night was so precious, his presence was so real. At the end, Terry, the leader, said he received a written word from someone in the audience. And the written word was, God said he was so happy over our worship. And in the auditorium, there were thousands of angels singing with us and thousands on their faces worshiping. I'm looking forward to him sing. And in another aside, I think the last time I spoke to you, I talked to you about a very close friend of mine who is in jail in India. And I received a year-end tax statement, and there's a letter from him. And this is, I won't read all of it, but this part of it here, he says, 2019 is history, albeit for me a limited and restricted history confined within the parameters of Central Jail in Odisha, India. It is for the kingdom, particularly the voiceless children. And I shared with you how he has a ministry of rescuing children who are at risk of slavery and so on, and they're in homes where they stay and go to school until they have completed college level or ability to get a job. I look at the remainder of my sojourn on earth through the lens of a soldier. It is a clear paradigm for me. I'm in a war for the souls of kids. And in spite of my temporary status as a POW, the battle will continue. We've taken some direct hits and faced some setbacks, but we press on. Attacks from the enemy indicate good things ahead. Hallelujah. With that in mind, thank you for continuing to invest in the lives of children, kids at risk, kids facing bonded slavery, lepers, and the kids of lepers who are looking for a very bleak future. You are our rope holder, and we will continue going deep into enemy territory no matter the cost, rescuing lives, rough diamonds, but diamonds nevertheless. Thank you for standing with this battle-hardened soldier. The fight rages on. So I called him. I said, I got this letter. Is he out of jail? They said, oh, no. We sneaked in a letter and then had him write what he wanted to be said and snuck it back out. So he has now been in jail for over a year. I think part of the problem is that he was born in India, even though he's an American citizen. And he could use your prayers and prayers for the work that is still going on despite his being in jail. Faiz, yes, thank you. Faiz Rahman. Faiz, F-A-I-Z. Faiz. So, the word walk in the book of Colossians. But before we begin, I'd like to look at something about the Holy Spirit. And then I'll tell you why in a minute. John 16:7. Reading from the Amplified Classic Edition. This is kind of interesting because in my book, I quoted either this verse or another one from an amplified version of 1984. And now they have kind of done away with all of the earlier ones and made a classic edition. And then they have a more recent edition, the 2020 or whatever. But this is from the Amplified Classic Edition. However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to leave you. But it's for your benefit that I'm leaving you. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And I like this, I like the Amplified in these verses about the Holy Spirit, because it gives us all of the various aspects of how the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and lives. And so, from other verses, we read that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. John 14:26. He convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. John 16:8. He will guide us into all truth. John 16:13. He will speak not of himself, and will glorify Jesus. And he will endue with power. Acts 1:8. Also in connection with this, looking at a verse in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. All scripture is inspired by God. The word definition of inspiration is divinely breathed in, another work of the Holy Spirit. So, as we look at the words walk in the book of Colossians, it is the Holy Spirit that caused Paul to write down his prayer, the beginning of Colossians, breathed it through Paul, through now the Word of God that we have. And the word walk in the book of Colossians appears 4 times. Walk worthy of the Lord. Walk in Him. And then, not as you once walked. And walk in wisdom. The Bible dictionary definition, Strong's Concordance, is to tread around, that is, walk at large, especially as proof of ability. And thank the Lord I have the ability now to actually walk again. Thanks for your prayers. Figuratively, to live or deport oneself, follow as a companion, to go, be occupied with, walk about. To walk, to make one's way, progress, to make due use of opportunities. Hebrew 4, to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, to pass one's life. That's what the word walk means. So in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12, we have the first occurrence of walk. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And I've commented before, I think, at that Bible study, about Paul's prayers. It's not, Lord bless Mary, God be with John. He doesn't cease praying, and he asks that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I need those kind of prayers. Amen. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light. The second occurrence is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Oh, thanksgiving again. The third one, Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked. That was our life before we knew the Lord. We once walked that way when you lived in them. And then the fourth one is found in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. Walk in wisdom, especially to those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And that verse is a little difficult. We'll come back to it with maybe a little more. We can understand it a little bit better. So, let's take the first word. Walk worthy of the Lord. Chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. That you may walk, live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him and desiring to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. What did we hear this morning? Just a little while ago. He wants us to grow in him. And wants us to put our roots down in him. Wow. And we didn't talk. Didn't know what I was talking about this morning. God knew. We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance, with joy. Giving thanks to the Father. Again, thankfulness seems to be a very important thing. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. Walk worthy of the Lord. Why? Why do we walk worthy of the Lord? Well, verses 13 to 14. Because the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, which means the forgiveness of sins. Well, we ought to walk worthy of the Lord, shouldn't we? Receiving all of that. Worthy of who? It says, walk worthy of the Lord. Who is it we're walking worthy of? Chapter 1, verses 15 to 16. Christ is the exact likeness of the unseen God. He existed before God made anything at all. And in fact, Christ himself is the creator who made everything in heaven and earth, the things we can see and the things we can't, the spirit world with its kings and kingdoms, its rulers and authorities. All were made by Christ for his own use and glory. We're to walk worthy of who? Of Christ, the creator of everything. Are we doing that? Next is, wow. Chapter 1, verses 20 to 22. It was through what his son did that God cleared a path for everything to come to him. All things in heaven and on earth, for Christ's death on the cross has made peace with God for all by his blood. This includes you, who were once so far away from God. You were his enemies, and you hated him and were separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has brought you back as friends. I have to tell you, the first time I sang was in a church, and they sang the song Friends with God, and I was like, oh, that's not right. How can we sing that? Wow, but it's scriptural. It's right there. It's just such an awesome thought. We have been made a friend of God. Brought into his family. He has done this through the death on the cross of his own human body. And now, as a result, Christ has brought you into the very presence of God with nothing left against you. Nothing left that he could even chide you for. Wow. Walk worthy of the Lord. So second, we're to walk in Him. Walk in Him. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Live in vital union with Him. And you are in Him, made full and having come to fullness of life. I think once before here, using an illustration I saw somewhere else, I brought nesting dolls. Remember? One doll goes in the inside, and then the next doll goes inside. Perfect illustration of where to walk in Him, in Christ Jesus. And He is in us as we walk in Him. We walk in Him because we're forgiven. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave all our sins. Walk in Him. Those sins, blotted out. Chapter 2, verse 14. Having canceled and blotted out and wiped away. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and completely unrolled it by nailing it over His own head on the cross. If the writer lived in this day, in fact, I even thought about getting a cop, making a copy of a shredding machine. You know, the latest one, then we'll do 10 sheets and cut them into 4 or 5 little pieces. Our sins have been canceled. They've been shredded. They have been obliterated. Blotted out. And Satan likes to remind me of all of mine. Oh. But they're gone. In God's sight. I can't seem to shake them sometimes, but as far as God's concerned, the slate's clean. Blotted. Canceled, shredded, obliterated. But that's not all. Enemies defeated in verse 15 in chapter 2. The diction of the verse is that of a vowed and open warfare, of a fallen warrior stripped of his armor, of foes and weapons paraded through the streets as they used to do when they would bring back the enemies and parade them through the streets in Rome. And the word in chapter 2, verse 15, the word triumph, is only used 2 times in the New Testament. It's used in verse 15 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And this gets me. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Triumph. It's not just triumph, it's total triumph. God disarrayed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us. And made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross. In it, the cross. Another translation. He thus stripped the principalities and dominions of power and made a public display of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Total triumph. So we want to walk in him. Why not walk in him? Forgiven, sins blotted out, enemies defeated. Wow. So the third occurrence of walk is in chapter 3. We once walked. Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them, you also once walked when you were living in them. But now we're changed. Chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Now, we once walked in these other things. These are the things we're supposed to walk in. Put on a heart of compassion. Kindness. Kindness. Does some wonderful things. Humility. Gentleness. Patience. Oh, patience. That's supposed to be one of the things that separates us as patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against you, anyone, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all of these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We once walked one way. Now we want to walk this way. Changed. So the last word is walk in wisdom. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So, what we have here in chapter 4, walk in wisdom, we have the overt act of our lives in Christ, which is to witness to others. Jesus told them that they had to go and wait for the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come. And that the Comforter, that Holy Spirit, would endue them with power. To do what? To tell others. To share this. And so what we have here is walking in wisdom is talking about sharing what has happened to us with others. I've been changed. I'm not the person I used to be. And I've been changed by the power of God that works in my life. So, the Living Bible translates it this way. Make the most of your chances to tell others the good news. Be wise in all your contacts with them. Let your conversation be gracious as well as sensible, for then you will have the right answer to everyone. And I think Pastor Sherry will get a kick out of this. I think that the Passion translation of this verse makes it the clearest of them all. Walk in the wisdom of God as you live before the unbelievers, and make it your duty to make him known. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity, for then you will be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks about your faith. Walk in wisdom. I have an uncle, bless his bones. He lived to be 102. And he would say to people, "You got to get saved because you're going to hell." Well, that's not really walking in wisdom. But you know, it worked for him. For him, it worked. You're going to hell. Do we want to walk in wisdom, don't we? And that may not be the wisest way to share our faith. Four uses of the word walk. So we come back to the Holy Spirit. We had a verse about the Holy Spirit, didn't we? Why do we come back to the Holy Spirit? Because it's the Holy Spirit that breathed this word that we talked about this morning. And it's the Holy Spirit that makes it alive in us. And it's the Holy Spirit who reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ that we should walk worthy and walk in Him and walk in wisdom. So in John 14, verses 16 to 17, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, and Standby, that He may remain with you forever." And who is He? He's the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome to its heart, taken to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. So I thought about how to end this morning. And I'm going to ask you to sit where you are, be comfortable. And we're going to play a song. The song lasts just under 5 minutes. And the words are going to be up there. You can sing it if you know it. You can hum it. You can talk the words. You can let the words speak to you, because it's a song of invitation. Come, Holy Spirit. Revel in his presence.
Come soften our hearts. Come soften our hearts.
That is indeed our prayer this morning, O Lord. And your presence. We thank you for your presence. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We worship you. Help us, O Lord, as we leave this place to walk with the Holy Spirit working in our lives, that we might walk worthy of Him, that we might walk in Him. We don't want to walk the way we once walked, and we want to walk in a wise manner so that we might show forth the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Go with us, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Have a good week.